Welcome to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out with Julie Caraccio. Every Tuesday at 1 p.m., Julie interviews experts on all areas of clutter, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Learn easy to implement tips on how to release clutter and get organized to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. An award-winning professional organizer and coach, Julie also shares suggestions to help you live clutter-free for a more joyful and fulfilling life.
Soothe your soul with our customized aromatherapy blends designed to support you in clearing clutter. Our unique blends include Space Clearing, Zen Mind, Serenity, Awareness, Natural Awakening, Loving Kindness, Gratitude, Forgiveness, Blissful Balance, and Present Time, which will become your favorite. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com.
Hey everyone, today we are talking about the topic of forgiveness. I have learned in my life that by not forgiving, whether it's yourself or someone else, it can create an immense amount of clutter, whether it's mental, emotional, or spiritual in your life. And so we're going to talk today with someone about how to release forgiving someone and work on that. And trust me, I've had the pleasure of interviewing her before. We have a lot of great stuff in store for you today on forgiveness. All right, we're going to tell you about today's guest. Reverend Maria Kramer is dedicated to healing the world to peace through her mission to awaken peace and love in all she meets and to help others heal themselves by being a guiding light. Through her own journey of healing and awakening, she has come to know the simple truth that every single person is precious and divine, no matter how removed his or her behaviors and life experience may be from reflecting that truth. They have just forgotten who they are. Maria holds many certifications, including Integrated Energy Therapy, Master Instructor Trainer, USI and Karuna Reiki Master Degrees, Certified Hypnotist, and Access Bars Facilitator. Welcome, Maria!
Hi! Well, thank you, Julie. It's so great to be with you again.
I want to encourage everyone, if you go to my YouTube channel, we have lots of great interviews with Maria. I was thrilled to have her now in the new podcast series and video series, and I think this is such an important topic, and I've had this discussion with her. So let's get started. Maria, can you talk about how not forgiving, whether it's ourselves or someone else, can create emotional, mental, or spiritual clutter?
Yes. If you can think of yourself, whenever we have lower vibrational emotions like anger or bitterness or resentment, think of it as all these emotions get stuck on a cellular level. So it's literally like living with a garbage can that you don't empty for how many years you're old.
We've got a lot of garbage out there for everyone.
It was funny. I wrote a little piece about this yesterday. I'm like, and then all of a sudden, the memory of when the New York sanitation strike was many years ago, and you drove down the street and it just piled up. So that's sort of what happens in our cellular memory and in our bodies when we hold on to these heavy. I almost see it on an energetic level like coals in our bodies. It's like our cells become filled with this dark muck. Mm-hmm. And it causes blockages in our energy system, in our meridian pathways, so energy can't flow properly into our organs and our systems, the nerves, the muscles, the bones. It affects everything in our physical body as well as in our energy field.
Can you talk maybe and give a concrete example for people who are listening who might not be that familiar with energy work and like, okay, so it causes a blockage, say, in some area, but how would that translate into everyday living?
Oh, how does that translate into everyday living? Okay, so if I withhold, if I'm not forgiving or if I've had a lot of judgments or a lot of anger or disappointments in our life, it typically will affect us in a way that we are not living in the present moment anymore. We are still connected to that event 20 years ago when my mom said, if you do this, blah, 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 I will never forgive you. or whatever it might be. And so when that happens, is it's sets a something happens in our neural pathways, also in our brain, and so it literally affects how we think and how we believe, and it just amplifies. And so first there was the incident of I'm not feeling worthy, I'm not feeling loved, I feel abandoned, I'm not good enough, I'm not wanted, there's no space for me. It affects us in so many different ways, and it creates now these belief systems that get anchored in. And then because it's now a belief system perhaps, then all of a sudden other people show up in our life that actually compounds and make that belief true. And so we start this whole pattern that then will create more of the same in our lives.
Well, we create what we don't want more of. We resist it and say, I don't want this, but what happens is the exact opposite and we get it amplified.
Yeah, and there's so many different layers to it. That's one piece of it. And so now that gets mirrored back to me because I have that belief. Now the other piece too is if there's something happened in our life that we feel was unforgivable, by holding on to that anger and that grudge, we're actually feeding, I call it the zombie lifestyle. You're literally feeding that old energy by still withholding love and forgiveness to that person. So it actually builds up more. It's almost like you have a rotten apple, and if you keep it sitting there, it will grow more mold on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and eventually, when energy doesn't flow properly in our system, we then can start create disease or disharmony in our bodies. So colds will appear, flu will appear, cancer, Paget's disease. You know, it doesn't really matter what we have labeled it. And I think the challenging thing is most universe or people have labeled things and put it in boxes. And I really wish we would unlabel everything, because that creates even greater limitation. Now I have this and I'm stuck with it. And that's another layer. And now there is an anchor that's around of an anger circling the original anger. So now it's like compounding and layers of it. Then there's also the piece of I can't forgive myself for interacting with that person. And so that creates a whole nother dynamic. Then there is the anger at God for allowing this to be able to manifest it to begin with. So there's, and every time we judge, anger really comes from I'm not getting what I want, or I'm getting what I don't want. That's the only reasons why we get angry.
Wow.
If you just keep it that simple, I only get hurt because I'm not getting what I want. That's all. If we can make it that simple, every time we have that feeling of I'm not getting what I want or I'm getting what I don't want, every time you feel anger arise, if we could just remember touching back into that simple truth.
Now, how do we
do that? Then we can do a self-reflection and go, okay, what's that got to do with me? And that takes that responsibility or the blame that it's somebody else's reason why I'm not feeling good.
Right. Well, I mean, I believe, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, that whatever's going on in our life is a direct result of what we create our life. And so one of the reasons I talk about clutter on all four areas is because your environment, a lot of times people say, oh, it's just physical clutter. No, your physical environment is a result of your inner world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think where I can share personal stories of how I know anger has affected me. My mother, she developed I just had an aha moment today as I'm preparing for this week. It's funny, stuff has been coming up for me for clearing, so I thank you so much. And I have a hip and, or I have had, or I've been processing a hip and leg issue on my right side for a number of years that has caused challenge in walking sometimes, and it's a lot of pain. And I also know my mother had it and my grandmother had it. Sometimes the emotions we feel is generational. And I actually doused for it today to see how much was it my anger and how much was it their anger and what's the common theme. And I know I'm doing generational healing on it. And I'm here to forgive that which they couldn't forgive, that whoever they needed to forgive for it. And they had pretty rough lives. So, and I know it's a lot of anger and unforgiveness even in my life about certain things in my life, abuse or where I was held back or I felt abandoned or not heard or whatever it was when I was a kid. And so I know pain is a messenger. It is one of the most blessed gifts that our body offers us, because it shows us where we're not in harmony and where we are not in complete. If I was living in complete 100% bliss love, I would have no pain in my body. I would have a completely disease-free body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you look at anger and as a asset, right? We talk about acid alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about a healthy body. Love is alkaline. Anger and frustration is acidity. So if you are living in love, you have a completely vibrant being. And so if our bodies is showing anything other than that, then we have some emotions that are stored in our body that we need to release and let go of. And so my mother developed osteoporosis, which my grandmother did too, and they were in great pain and they were limping for a number of years. And then my mother developed Patch's disease, which is osteoporosis on steroids.
Okay.
It's horrific. It's bones remanifest incorrectly, so it's like bone on bone and there's no fluid, and it's very painful. And she was in bed for many years. So apparently there's a belief system in my family that I was beginning to create something similar to that, although I wasn't conscious of what it is. And most of the emotions we're not conscious of because they're old.
That's a great point. So could we be unconsciously not have forgiven someone? Maybe consciously, oh, I forgave them ages ago, but that's not really what's going on.
Yes. Most of it is. And the way I look at how do you know if you really forgiven? And so the angels actually showed me in meditation the other day a beautiful image. And it was funny. They took me into this place of I was in the circle with all the people I needed to still forgive at another deep level. They were all seated, and I literally had to bow to each one of them and kiss their feet. So I'm not able to bow and kiss their feet and see them as God. Sai Baba says something really beautiful. If you can't see God in all, you can't see God at all. And so that literally is a meter. Have I truly forgiven that person? Can give them a hug and see them as me? And what I really does that answer your question?
That does. Absolutely. And I think I've got some homework to do because that's a great visual. But can you talk a little bit about the process of forgiving? Because you've mentioned already about layers. And I think sometimes I don't want to ever minimize what's happened to someone. And so, you know, forgiving the neighbor for having the dog poop on my lawn, it's annoying. But that's easier than saying forgiving someone who abused me. So I believe that there are layers. So can you talk about what your experience has been in the process of forgiving?
It's stages. You can't go from A to Z. I mean, you could. but the majority of people, we take it, you know, as a process. And a lot of times people go, oh, I forgive them, and you go, bitch, you know, no, you really don't, you know, you say it, but that's a step in the right direction. And I come from an abuse situation in my family, both sexual and mental and emotional abuse and physical. So, you know, today I'm grateful, although it would have been fun not to have that experience. But I came here to learn how to forgive. Mm-hmm. That was one of my choices of having an experience in this body as this soul at this point in time. So if that's one of the lessons I came here to learn, I can't do it without having something really extraordinary to work with. Yeah? That's so cool. It comes from a place of and I think sometimes we have to begin with where people don't want to go, and that is, I don't want to forgive. And accept that I'm not ready to forgive. By saying, I am not ready to forgive yet, and I fully embrace it, that's a beginning of the process. By verbalizing and accepting, I don't think this is forgivable, is a process. We have to verbalize what we're feeling. I find journaling is a wonderful tool in really writing down why I can't forgive or what or the process I'm in. And the next one is I allow the energy of, this is what worked for me years ago when I was working on something really deep. And I said to the angels, I work a lot with angels, like you know, and I said to the angels, I said, okay, God and angels, I can't forgive this person, but I am willing to allow the energy of forgiveness to flow through me to that person until I can actually participate in that action.
I love that. I think that's fantastic. Because, again, it's so important that you mention that, because when I've done interviews on something that happened to me, people are like, I can't forgive. And I'm like, that's okay. If that's all I can tell you from my experiences, it's like a boulder has been removed once I have forgiven someone.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I respect where everyone is in their process.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you do it in layers. And, you know, and I find the important piece to forgiving is, it's not a mental process. It's an emotional process. You can't think your way out of an emotion. And if you feel anger, or if you feel hurt, or if you feel abused, those are feelings. And you can't talk your way out of it. You have to feel the pain. You don't have to. What has worked for me, that's number one, there's nothing you have to do. The best way to do it is to, what they say, feel the pain of the event. And that's the thing most people are not willing to go into. They want to kind of push it away. They don't want to, but it's going into the feeling of the pain of whatever that was and literally sit in it like a soup or a swimming pool that allows you then to move out of it.
I just want to jump in here. You know, I've interviewed you before, and I've interviewed lots of people. Every single person I've interviewed had said holding on to the pain was much worse than walking through the fire of dealing with the pain. And
yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, because it's such a short period you're in it. However, it's if you know, it's like going into a pool. It's like going into a hot tub. You know you can always hop out. But there's something about sitting and feeling it fully, being present with it, being present with a part of you that felt whatever it felt, that helps you recognize that this too shall pass. It's like giving birth. If you've ever done that, for those who have, you know, this too shall pass. So, Just one more, 40 hours later, you know. But, you know, it's like this too shall pass. So, but if you can sit with it and know that you are still okay, you're still alive, you didn't die, it gives you a strength. And I think the other piece of it too that was very helpful for me was I had a memory of when I was a man in another life, and I did some really horrific acts. So through a regression, I wanted to know, what did I ever do that I felt I had to have these experiences? And it's not this way for many, but it helped me. I had to learn to forgive myself, and typically the thing that I can't stand in others, or that I have not been able to forgive others for, was something exactly similar within myself that I had somehow in my subconscious, unconscious, this lifetime, any lifetime, said, I will never forgive myself for that. And I need to be punished, and I need to blah, 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 blah. So I have learned every time there's somebody that really burns my toast, I will go back and say, okay, what resonates within me that I haven't forgiven within me yet? And all of a sudden I'm able to feel this level of compassion for myself, and it shifts everything on the outside, because if I learn to release judgments of myself, there's no way I can judge anyone else. And if I participated in something similar, then I can't judge that other person. You can't call the kettle black anymore.
Exactly.
And it's everything.
It really does. In your work, what have you found to be the biggest challenge in people forgiving, is that they feel that they're condoning what happened to them if they don't forgive? Where do you see people getting stuck the most?
There is an addiction to victim consciousness. It's much easier to blame someone else and take responsibility not for the whole thing, but for the part that we played. And we live in a consciousness that's victim fueled. Poor me. Mm-hmm. It's always someone else's fault of whatever this is. So, because once you take responsibility for your part, you can't blame anyone anymore.
Right.
And there is a hook. And it's that learning how to unhook it. It's the last grab the ego has. So it's that place of, okay, I have to take full responsibility of everything that happens or has ever happened in my life. I co-created this. There is an energy of people resisting their co-creationship, or not believing or having embraced that they're co-creators of their reality.
I would say, you know, based on my experience, that's a lot of people. You know, even saying people, you know what, you create your reality, a lot of people have a hard time digesting that, and you have to get to a certain place, you have to have a certain realization before you can begin to accept that. And I've found, you know, the feeling like a victim has layers to it as well. I had done a lot of work. I had no idea I felt like a victim to my brother, who I would say is not spiritual, said to me one day, you see yourself as a victim. And instead of being like, no, I don't, I stopped and I was like, wow. And I was like, he's right.
Yeah. And it's a big one to let go of. It's huge, especially because, and this is why, it's because it illuminates truth. And it means that when we give up victim consciousness, the whole foundation of our belief system prior to that has been in illusion. And so I've been living a lie. And that is really challenging for people to accept, because it's like an earthquake. Everything gets rearranged and you have to build new.
And that's scary.
It is scary. And it also is, it's not just for yourself, it's for the people that you interact with, your family, generational, ancestry. So it's on so many different levels, and that's really challenging. It was for me. You mean, really? There's another way to do this? Oh my God, I did not know that. You know?
Can you talk a little bit, you touched on it earlier, about self-forgiveness, because so many times I think when we say, hey, who do you need to forgive, it's always outside. It's never inside. So talk a little bit about self-forgiveness.
I would say that's probably the hardest one of all. And it's probably because, you know, we were conditioned to judge by other. We were judged by others very well. Then we got really good at judging others. But many people are perfectionists. We live in this world of comparison, always judging and comparing ourselves to others. And we never, in ego, live up to our own expectations. We're always trying to be better. We're always trying to improve ourselves. So just in that alone, in trying to be better or trying to live a happier life, it's not enough. And so there is a self-judgment, and that's a really tricky piece, to accept where I am and knowing I can be more at peace. But if we can, so that's why it's a real tricky thing to release that self-judgment. And so hence the self-forgiveness is challenging.
Right.
And so that one is more in pieces. And I think it's wonderful to release that big one of self-forgiveness, and that feels like this whole backpack came off your shoulders of like, oh my God, I don't have to carry this backpack of rocks. Think of yourself as this. You go through life and on your spiritual path, or not on your spiritual path, but I think those who are listening to this and will in the future, this is a you're always on a path of ascension. You're always path of getting lighter and being more peaceful and joyful. And so you can't take all the baggage you have collected over the years with you. If you're a mountain climber and you get to certain plateaus, you can't make it to the top with your big backpack. You got to take stuff off and leave it at different levels. And so it's the same thing with self-judgment and self-forgiveness. And so the big one is good, but it's the little things that wears the stone. It's the little raindrops that wears the stone. And so we don't always pay attention to the 1,500 times that we judge ourselves during the day. And they actually create more damage than the big thing that that Uncle Joe did. I'm just picking right. something, right? So it's that little stuff that we have to learn to forgive ourselves for and release self-judgment. So self-forgiveness, it's as much about releasing self-judgment as it is about self-forgiving, because if you release self-judgment, then you don't need to forgive.
Exactly. Can you lead us in a short exercise on forgiveness?
Sure. And there are wonderful ways you can, I'll set this up first. There's a couple of different ways you can do forgiveness. One is the Ho'oponopono prayer, which is lovely, which is really a mental thing, but if you can say it from your heart, it's even more powerful. And it goes like this: I'm sorry. If people want to write it down, please forgive me, and I have added in, I forgive you, or vice versa. I love you. Thank you. So what it really means is, I'm sorry for you not living up, for judging you as you were not living up to what I needed you to be. I forgive you for not being what I needed you to be. Please forgive me for judging you. I love you, which means from soul, love and like is two different things. you can still love the soul but not agree with the action of a person. Because the person doing the action that we don't see as kosher or see as painful, it's really their ego, it's not their soul, their spirit that would act that way, it's the part that's fearful. Why do lions roar? Because they're afraid. Right? So anytime people hurt, if you, of course, and I'll go to the last piece of this, and thank you for bringing to my attention where I was withholding love. To me, that's really what that means. So if we're not, of course, A Course in Miracles says every single situation is an opportunity for forgiveness. Every single one, because it's about living in the present moment. Every time I'm withholding forgiveness or love, I'm living in the past or I'm fearful in the future. All attack, this is also from Course in Miracles, and I've kept that in right in front of my face all these years, all attack is a cry for help or a cry for love.
Hmm. That's all. That gives you a different perspective when you put it in that way, which can help soften and begin the process of forgiveness.
Yeah. So if I'm attacking someone, that just means where am I afraid or what is my call to love? If someone is attacking me, it's the same thing. Or if I feel attacked. The other one is this, it's a 7x70 forgiveness process, and it was even in the Bible and many other places. Jesus taught to, for 7 days, forgive 70 times. And you, and I've done this process, and it's powerful. And you literally write down either the same person or different people 70 times every day. I now unconditionally release and forgive blank for blank. They did the best they knew how, given their state of consciousness at the time. Wow. And then you also want to forgive yourself. I now unconditionally forgive and release, and then state your name. And if you've had many names, like I've been married a couple of times, and then I changed my name too. So you have a lot, because each personality has its own characteristics and its own connection to whatever the situation was. You do that and you write it out longhand, not typing. It's got to be written out longhand.
I'm going to try that. I've got some.
Really fabulous.
I think that. And you know what? Again, that's an easy exercise. You just need pen and paper, which everyone, most people have access to. And that's something, again, what I would call a no excuse. You have no excuse not to do that.
Yeah.
Or the, and I always mispronounce it, the Honos. Pronounce it for me again.
Ho-o-po-o-pono. People can Google it. It's, there's, you know, and if you really want to be simple, you can just say, thank you, I love you. But a lot of times people have to get there. Yeah, and the other one, I mean, for those who know EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, it's a wonderful energetic process to, you know, release out where the blockage is without knowing what they are. And meditation is another one. So I want, for those of you listening on the call, you can just close your eyes. And I want you to allow yourself to just tune into your body. Take a deep breath in and just release out. And you may even wish to put one hand on your heart and just take a deep breath in. And release out. And I want you to allow yourself in your body to pay attention to where does it feel you're holding on to any anger. And notice if there's any heaviness. Just become aware, be observant, And just pay attention to what it looks like, feels like, sounds like, what shape it might have, what color it might have, and who it might be connected with. Beautiful. I want you at the same time to reach up with your heart, invite yourself to connect with divine source energy. Whatever that is for you, creator energy, God, source, love. And I want you to literally reach up with your heart and envision connecting with a stream of golden source consciousness reaching down like a river flooding into your crown. I want to invite yourself, and as you take a deep breath in, inhale golden light and breathe it down into your heart. I want to allow yourself to breathe that golden light right down into your heart, and then I want to move it right down into where the area of whatever it was you identified is. Beautiful. And I want you to feel, this is pure source energy, it's love. When you bring in the energy of love, it transmutes and absolves and dissolves anything that is not of love vibration. It's like shining a flashlight into a dark cave. I invite you this to breathe in more of this golden light, and I want you to breathe in another energy of pink light. Pink is the energy of compassion and forgiveness. So breathing in golden pink light into that area, into whatever it was that held that anger and unforgiveness. And I want you to literally feel, sense, see it beginning to dissolve, grow smaller, 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 and feeling the energy in the area becoming more vibrant pink and golden light. And just breathing in, I breathe, I choose peace instead of this. Literally make a choice for peace. I choose peace. I choose to bring in this peace more than I want to be right. I choose peace instead of needing to be right. I choose peace instead of this heavy feeling. There you go. Literally just feel it just dissolved. You feel how it got smaller and smaller?
Absolutely.
Beautiful. So this is a simple thing you can do in meditation. If anything is up, just choosing and breathing in love to transmute wherever it is that you're, because it lodges in our cell memory and we want to release it out of our physical body. And you have the power to shift anything. And if it shifts energetically, we can shift it physically, and so we don't have to create the physical manifestations.
Excellent. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share on forgiveness?
Forgiveness is freedom. I have this saying, forgiveness is freedom, forgiveness is forgetting. Forgiveness is the eye of the needle we must tread to find peace.
Wow, that's powerful.
It's a tool for peace. Without it, it's the key. It's the tool we have been given to find inner peace.
Outstanding.
When we still live in the illusion of the way that we do.
Now, can you tell people, you know, I know you do classes, I don't know if you have any books, anything like that, and that where people can find out more information about you?
Sure. Oh, I teach lots of classes. I teach integrated energy therapy classes, self-ascension events. I teach, I'm also a master instructor trainer with IET, so I'm going to be traveling to Europe and all over the country and teaching this year. I'm really excited about that. I have two books, Prayers to Awaken Peace and Love, and I co-wrote with 14 other authors, The Chakra Journey. And they're awesome tools for self-healing and creating more peace in your life and learning to forgive. And I have a website, awakenpeaceandlove.com. And I'm in the process of creating another website, but there will be links to that if you go there. I look forward to being of service and helping anyone as they are needed. And I have a blog that I'm writing too, so there's tips and all kinds of stuff there.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Marie. It's always a pleasure. I always enjoy interviewing you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Go out, try to forgive, whether it's yourself or someone else, to clear clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire.
Soothe your soul with our customized aromatherapy blends designed to support you in clearing clutter. Our unique blends include space clearing, Zen mind, serenity, awareness, natural awakening, loving kindness, gratitude, forgiveness, blissful balance, and present time, which will become your favorite. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. Thanks for tuning in to Clearing the Clutter Inside and Out. Sign up for our newsletter and receive a free copy of 10 Clutter-Free Living Tips. Ready to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire? Learn about Julie's coaching, ebooks, online monthly decluttering classes, how to organize your life, office hours, and her unique clutter-free living mastermind at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. You can also watch all episodes on YouTube or download on iTunes and more. Join us next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.